Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to Talking Trots on what's been a big weekend in trotting with all the action in New Zealand. And that is just a little appetizer for the Interdom in Perth. A good weekend of trots already underway. Cracking card last night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. The big tri-codes on tonight. Pacing, greyhounds and the thoroughbreds under the lights out of Cranbourne, and a big day too for the Gunbower people with their trotting and pacing cups on tomorrow. Let's bring in the good form team, Jason Bonington and Blake Redden. G'day, lads.
Hello, JT. Great to be here and looking forward to another huge weekend in the trots. Fortunately, well, for me in particular, we've got only eight race programs to get through tonight. And then again, I think it's only an eight race card at Gunbower, but it's going to be a terrific weekend. And hopefully we can find some winners tonight, because it is a huge meeting out in my new adopted hometown. Tri-codes, of course, at Cranbourne, and usually massively attended, bigger than the Cup sometimes, Baker. So I won't be there. I'll be in Brisbane, but I wish them all the best.
Yeah, thanks, Bon. Really looking forward to all the racing that's to come. As you mentioned already, we had the New Zealand Cup on Tuesday, the free-for-all Friday. And I guess we just start now to build towards the Inter-Dominion Heats this coming Friday. So there's a bit going on. We've seen plenty in the last week or so, but plenty more to come in the next couple of months.
All right, let's start with the Silk Department. Lazarus was arrogant, is the word that I would use, to win his second New Zealand Trotting Cup.
It was almost a replica of the first, wasn't it? He didn't have to do as much work, I guess, to find the front in this New Zealand Cup. He got there very quickly after the start. He didn't run as quick a time, but he still effectively broke the clock that last half, 54 and change. He put them away like he did the year before in the straight. They were just never going to be competitive. He put a good gap in them, and they're good horses, make no mistake about it. Tiger Tara, I know, probably didn't get his best chance given he galloped still a massive run, but Jack's Legend's a nice horse that's developing really quickly. You know, it was a good, strong field. He got the job done, and now I guess it sets up this massive clash in Perth for the Inter-Dominion with Lenny the Shark, because despite Lenny being 3 or 4 years older, it's almost as if he's right at the top of his game right now from what we've seen. And if that's the case, he's going to provide a mighty stumbling block for Lazarus Bond, who a lot of people are talking about already as the Mark Purden's best ever horse and potentially the best we've seen in a number of years in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a terrific win. Obviously, as a spectacle, it probably, it wasn't the greatest watch of all time, because he got to the front so quickly, Lazarus, that is, in the New Zealand Cup. Sounds really strange to say this, but even going into the race, knowing how short he was and the likelihood of him winning and winning well, that you were already sort of casting one eye to Perth, weren't you? We were already casting an eye over there, and really, the major part of him winning almost on Tuesday, despite the fact it is, you know, clear in a way the biggest race in New Zealand and one of the biggest races in the Southern Hemisphere, is we actually just wanted him to get the job done so the momentum continues towards Perth. And this is shaping. I tweeted about it earlier in the week. I think 2009 is an Inter-Dominion that stands out in my mind over the past decade or so because of the quality of horses and the intrigue you had. Mr. Feelgood had just been bought from America, won the Hunter Cup. He obviously ended up winning the Inter-Dominion in the Gold Coast, but Blacks of Fake was there. Carloo Mick, you had Smoking Up, and Auckland Reactor went there as a four-year-old as well. So that had so much intrigue, and I don't think there has been an Inter-Dominion series since then that's had as much intrigue as this one, and that continued really with what happened on Tuesday. As Lazarus builds this great legend, 15 Group 1s, he's now, you know, won a couple of New Zealand Cups, and still we can't talk about him as a good thing for Perth. I had Trent Cooper, who's a great man over in Perth, tweet me back and say, look, in the last six Inter-Dominions over in Perth, there's only been one leader has won the final, but this is a very different type of final for mine. This is the kind of final where if any of the three major... If Lazarus leads, he won't lose. If Lenny the Shark leads, he's very unlikely to lose. And to be honest, if Soho Tribeca leads, he's going to be extremely hard to beat as well. Honestly, even my boy San Calo would be very, very hard to run down if he found the front. So I think draw's going to be crucial. You've obviously got a different opinion.
Yeah.
What else have you seen this week, boys?
We sure saw Shadow Saxon. I think Bond was taken more than anyone with this win in the four-year-old and five-year-old championship. It was a good, strong, tough win. I spoke to Gavin Lang after the race, and he sort of explained how he was just able to control the race from the breeze. It meant that there were no more mid-race moves. They were able to set the tempo that he was comfortable with, and then he just outstayed them in that final lap. So he's always been a horse of rare talent. We've known that since his younger days. He's had probably a good stint on the sidelines, and it was nothing serious, which maybe in the end could be one of those blessings in disguise, because it wasn't a massive injury. He was never a career in doubt sort of situation. Maybe that time on the sidelines, he's come back a better horse, and I still don't know exactly where he fits in, and I'm not sure that the stable is you know, sure exactly where to go with him in terms of where, whether he goes straight to the, you know, the big country cups or whether they give him another 6 months. But Bon, you were very taken with the win.
It was an outstanding win. At the end of the day, I didn't see sectionals at the time. The tempo that Gav was comfortable with was a very comfortable tempo. So dictated terms. They've been able to sprint home in extremely quick final sectionals, and he has controlled the race. He's proven too quick and probably too classy for them more than anything else. Really big run from the back from Mr. Mahita, who also goes over to Perth as a horse who potentially can't win the series but can play a significant role. But look, I'm really interested to hear particularly what you said from what you heard from Emma and Clayton, that you got the serious vibe that Ideal for Real is a whole level above Shadow Sachs. Now, I don't know whether to take that they think that Ideal for Real is a super mega freak star, or that Shadow Sachs is, you know, a very, very nice horse but not capable of competing at the elite level. But from what I saw on the weekend, he's definitely got all those horses covered, and they're some pretty nice horses. So a big future for Shadow Sachs.
The British are coming. Not Paul Revere, but the Ashes boys are here, and a few involved in trots as well.
They've come and gone now, to be honest, John, but they were here, and as you say, it's not just the Ashes that the English and the Poms have arrived for. They were here on the weekend at Tabcorp Park and even the night before driving at Bendigo, and Richard Haythornthwaite and James Haythornthwaite, as Bill Hutchison, who we know well as a great aficionado of the sport, told me, they could compete anywhere. They're very good drivers over in England, and they've come here and shown their wares, and they did a really good job. Obviously, Richard on Friday night last week, going back, ran second in probably one of the quickest times we've ever seen at Bendigo with Heavenly Shades. So, but also we had Darren Owen call a couple of races the weekend, and he's famous in the UK for calling the Grand National. He's done that, I think, on 14 occasions over there of recent years, and he calls the trots as well, and he came down and even called some races on New Zealand Cup Day. So added a little bit of excitement and colour to the night, you'd say, Bon.
And at Ashburton during the week, and it takes our mind back, of course, as we were speaking off air about Roger Houston call at Globe Derby in 1998. Probably Dazzer Owen didn't quite reach the epic high notes that Roger did on that occasion, but it was a more controlled tempo that Darren set. But I loved it, and I had a lot of people texting me saying, how good is this bloke? Yeah. How good is this? So, you know, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. You know, you can't have blokes off the street jumping into the box with Dan or Craig or Lockie, but if you're getting these kind of guys in, it's just sensible, isn't it, JT, to have them come in and show what they can do, and he's been terrifically well received in New Zealand as well, Baker.
Speaking of the Grand National, which Darren Owen calls, I saw the other day Matt Hill will be the primary caller over in the UK for the Grand National next year, which is
Aussies are taking
feather
over
in his cap.
Well, that's if you think back 20, 30 years, race callers overseas were not even in the same stratosphere as our callers. But that has changed because of the Aussies going over. Michael Rayner in the States, Terry Spargo to Dubai, Jim McGrath to England, etc. Yeah. It's really lifted up the world standard because now you actually get a call through. You know, usually 20, 30 years ago, they'd stop after the second or third horse. But now the expectation is there. And I like to hear the other voices because the guys certainly have a skill.
And I'd just like to add quickly, I was terribly sad to see Matt Hill demoted from the harness racing. We gave him a 6 month trial. But hasn't he fallen on his feet since then? So great to see the bloke be able to find his way through.
Wasn't there some love around after the Cup Carnival as well? He did a terrific job.
I'm sure
everyone wanted to tell him.
I'm sure he was there at Gunbower last year. And what about Lucky Lad? Is he ready for a tilt out west?
I think Bond's, again, one peddling this theory. Stroke of luck, he was a lucky lad winning the St Arnold Cup on Sunday. Bond, from what you've seen of him in New Zealand and now that he's come to Australia, he's clearly starting to measure up as a nice horse.
What I like about him is he's got a really competitive instinct. You can tell he wants to win. He tries at the end of his races. And whether he's got the class to be an absolute top liner, well, we're not even going to find that out in Perth. He's going for a really rich Metropolitan Maiden Series. So we're not going to find out much exactly where Stroke of Luck sits in the pantheon for quite some time. That's the second time in 3 weeks we've used that word. But I will say that he's a pretty nice horse, and he's going to be hard to beat with a good draw in Perth because he's got gate speed too.
Pantheon.
Juicy absolutely went off.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week.
I have to start getting a scoreboard here. Bonners, 3-2-1, thank you.
Well, I'll start with the one and the two this week, and we'll save Bon up for his three-pegger It's a bit of a Bond mystery pick, I've called it this week, because I don't know what he's going to go with, but hopefully neither of my two. I'm going for a little bit of one that's flying under the radar. Tough call for Brooke Sadler. There he is. People looking at their computer wondering if it's on or off or why that noise is happening, but it's just John Thwaites messing around. Thursday at Ballarat, he was quite unlucky. Tough call. He's ready to win a race, and he'll do so at big odds very shortly. And the second best run of the week for two votes. I thought Sundon's Courage was massive. I know here he is. It's not quite the drum roll, but it's getting there. His win at Melton on the weekend, where he was taken on in front. He had to ward off the challenge mid-race, and he still kicked right away from them, and it was a very strong win. So tough call for one vote for me. I can see Bond scrambling. Sundon's Courage, two votes. Have you found a big three banger, Bond?
This is a really unusual three-voter, but I'm giving it to a horse.
This is the scramble.
That is going around tonight at Cranbourne, and I don't think he can win, but he will be winning soon. His name is Feel the Buzz.
Wasn't he good at Melton?
Wasn't he good
week,
at Tabor?
Yeah.
And you know what?
He's
what
done
he
it before.
Does, he's got this thing going where he goes poorly, then he starts to get better and better, and then he bangs you at about $40-$50 at Tabcorp Park or somewhere. So
he did it, I reckon, just over 12 months in September last year. He won at 100-1.
So we're just letting you know, even if he gets beaten tonight.
Maybe tonight back him because it is an unwinnable race.
He probably will get beaten tonight. Have something small on maybe, but just keep your eye out because Feel the Buzz is trending towards this big price victory very soon, JT.
Do I need to get a new sweeper made up? Bond's mystery pick. Is that what is that what I need to do, is it?
I'm not
should have
tell
said
you
that in
to.
The production meeting. Drive of the week, sir.
Well, it has to be. It's been a big week for Karen Manning. Not only did she have Stroke of Luck, Amelia's Courage won, I think, Tuesday night. There's been plenty of them rolling around, Bon. It's been a big week for Karen Manning, and it's probably capping off the last 6 months where she's just been in rare touch.
Yeah, there was one even on Thursday night. I can't quite
Talk
remember.
Talk of
it
Courage.
Right. Yeah, Talk of Courage in the final race.
Big odds.
Got over top of Mel Park Alexa, but she's in the zone. I mean, she's been in the zone for about 25 years, to be fair, but she's right in the zone at the moment, and particularly as a trainer. To think that she can be focusing so much on the training, and we saw Mick Stanley during the week or maybe 10 days ago say he's going to concentrate more on the training and hand the reins over largely to Greg Sugars. But for Karen to be able to do both at the level that she is right now is just extraordinary.
All right, guys, we'll take a break here on Talking Trots. The other side of this, we'll take a good look at tonight's card at Cranbourne in the Tricode.
It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. The Weekend Review, the Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Welcome back to the program. Big Tricode meeting. 24 races to be decided tonight. Trots, Greyhounds and the Thoroughbreds. Race number one. This is over the distance of 2084, 4 years and up. CEOs, who wins a tough race?
I've gone 10, 3, 5 and 11, but I'd spread the net even wider than that. Probably have a half a dozen runners if you are brave enough to have early quads on a very difficult first half to the program. I've gone with Illawong Lord on top. The SP profile doesn't say, you know, anything special's going on, but it has run second on it the past two occasions, and its most recent silver medal was in a race where it took off, paired off with Kiang Benham, who's a pretty smart horse. And to be honest, for most of the final 300 metres, you thought, well, Illawong Lord's got this race on toast. It was only really in the last couple of paces that Kiang Benham was able to kick back and get the better of Illawong Lord. But it was a really good run, I think, particularly for this standard of race, sort of a middle-tier CO on a Saturday night at Cranbourne. So I've got it on top. I think the two that are going to be in the firing line earlier, the major threats, 3 and 5, Rosanna Raider and Waltzing with Sierra, they'll both go forward. They've raced against each other a fair bit of recent times, and I think if they're Lead and Breeze, Lead and Trail, Lead and 1-1, something like that, they'll both be in the finish somewhere. And outside of them, Di Danudo put in a cracking race 2 runs back. Baker last time out was seemingly very disappointing when crushed by Fausands, who hasn't won a race since Adam was a little boy. But I just wonder whether he's a better hunter than he is the hunted. And outside of them, even Persimmon must go in your early quarters. Bright Shadow's got the ability, but has been a bit disappointing its last couple. Really tough race. Illawong Lord straight out for mine if you're having a bet.
I think it's probably a race in 2 Illawong Lord you've mentioned, and as you say, Di Danudo maybe not his best last time, but I think potentially going forward he's going to be the best horse in the race.
Second event, guys, for C1s, 4 years and up over the Flying Mile.
It doesn't get a lot easier here, JT. 4, 1, 8, and 6 are my numbers. I think the start's going to be crucial. Madison Louise and Sammy Seals to actually met in late July, July 23rd to be exact. They both got beaten on that occasion, but the map went like this. Madison Louise led, Sammy Seals was behind the leader, and I think there's a really significant chance we're going to see exactly the same map here. There will be no Most Happy Callan who beat them on that occasion. So,
will Evil Trickster not just pull its way to the lead at some point?
No, I think it'll roll forward. It really depends on what the puppet wants to do, but the puppet usually has a one-track mind, particularly on horses that are good enough to lead, and I think that Madison Louise is good enough to lead. If it finds the front, I'm happy to say it is the horse to beat, particularly on its home digs. Sammy Sealster was really good first up from a break, though running second, and I can't see any reason why it couldn't be in the finish from the pole marking draw. Darby McGuigan takes the drive. Outside of them, Chariot Lady couldn't sprint with Sammy Sealster when they met last time out, but its previous win was good enough to suggest with an economical trip it also won't be too far away. And Magnum Express doesn't win out of turn, but I think if they put some heat on through the middle stages here, it might be one that'll be pulling out and finishing off with a little bit of intent. But another tricky race, 4, 1, 8, and 6, my numbers, Baker?
No, incredibly tough. I'll be waiting for the third.
Okay, third race, 4, the 4 years and up, C1 over the Flying Mile. At this stage, no scratchings.
I'd really encourage you to wait for the fourth, probably, unless you know much about these horses, Baker, because this is a Rubik's Cube of a race. So I've gone 8, 3, 1, and 2. Sergeant Lee is exquisitely bred. It's out of Miami Lee, making it closely related to horses like Renaissance Man and Louvre. It's a wonderful family. So he's bred to be an outstanding horse. What we've seen of him so far, he isn't an outstanding horse, but you won't need to be to win this race. And a couple of his performances, two starts back in particular at Tabcorp Park Menangle, you'd think if he could replicate that effort, he would probably win this. However, he trialled very ordinarily in preparation for this. So I'd be watching markets closely with Sergeant Lee. The dangers, if you're not getting a good market push for that horse at 1 and 3, I think. Magic Impact, who's on home digs and can roll forward at the start, and Heavenly Tooth, who should make good use of the pole marking draw. And outside of them, if our Fabiola could get back to the same form it displayed two starts back when successful, it can also be added to Exotic Bets. My number's 8, 3, 1, and 2. You're not going to contribute significantly here, are you?
No, I'll take your advice on board.
Fourth event, guys. Last leg of the early quaddy is a trot for TOs, and they're all starting. We've got two first starters here, the Page Boy and Parisian Amour.
Yeah, the Page Boy hasn't shown too much at the trials, and to be quite frank, for an Anton Galino runner, neither has Parisian Amour to my eye, so I'm happy to risk them, unless you're seeing a big market move for Parisian Amour. I'm happy to say that the race runners, the established talent, and there's three of them here who I think should fight this out. They are 2, 4, and 7. Breezing Around and Rosanna Lindy have both raced around each other a fair bit of recent times. I thought Rosanna Lindy was clearly the better of the two runs last time out after Breezing Around led and seemingly had every opportunity. I'm tipping No Republic to beat them both. I thought its last two runs before heading off for a short sabbatical were both excellent, both good enough to win this race. And even though it's coming back without a trial, it is in fact not trialled since August, I still think on pure ability it might have these covered. So I've got 4 on top of 7 and 2, and I've thrown in Bundy's Good, who I don't think can win the race for fourth. But as I say, just watch the market with Parisian Amour. Not so much the Page Boy, but Parisian Amour is an interesting runner.
Yeah, it looks a race in two. I'd almost lean to Rosanna Lindy. She'll need some pace on early, but she will be definitely finishing the best of anything in the race for sure.
Firstly, the normal quaddy guys goes at 20 minutes to 9. This is, of course, the Tri-Code meeting at Cranbourne tonight. They've got a big crowd, too, for this. Do we forgive Rashai, the runner Bendigo, lads?
I think we have to. The issue was there. They went incredibly quick. Like, this horse came from New Zealand with a really big reputation. He started a short price favourite, about $1.80 on that occasion.
You have marked him very short here, Bob.
$1.40.
Yeah, that's very short.
I think that might be generous, to be quite honest. I mean, we're talking about a horse who's been emigrated over here to tackle serious metropolitan races, I would have thought, Rishi. So the issue with him is he paced very poorly on occasions in that first up run in Australia. He has since trialled successfully, and in that trial, you can tell this horse has got an almighty motor, but again, he paced very roughly on the final turn. Cranbourne is going to be a tough track for him, I'll be quite honest. I think yeah, you'll have your heart in your mouth at some point, even if he's 15 or 20 metres clear coming to that final turn, but he's got so much on these horses in terms of ability that I think you have to one out him in quads and just take the risk on board. So two, a virtual moral, but as I say, heart in your mouth, the final 400 metres. I don't think there are any legitimate dangers if he goes to his best, but if you're playing exotics, 6 Lochinvar Delight has got a real lot of ability, but there's two of him a little bit. So his last couple of starts haven't been quite as good. Modern LeBron's been flying, but steps up in grade from a bad draw. And number four final over will be in the firing line. So 2, 6, 7, and 4 are my numbers, Baker.
I'd happily play against the favourite here. I'd have something each way on maybe final over. And look, feel the buzz at $16. We've spoken it up a little bit, but I could definitely have something on him.
Race 6, guys, is the City of Casey Tri-Codes Pace worth $10,000 for the C1s. Mr. Castle stays at home. J-Bon?
9, 5, 8, and 7. This is the race of the night without any doubt or question. We've got three resuming four-year-olds who've all got much more than their fair share of ability, and I'm tipping a three-year-old to beat them all, and that is Majestic Cruiser. I spoke to Jeff Webster during the week, and he's got a big opinion of this horse. And to be fair, the writing's on the wall, isn't it? It's a top-tier $10,000 C1, and he's thrown in a three-year-old out of its age division, out of its class. So you can tell he's got a good opinion of this horse. Two of its three wins, two wins from three starts is preparation, both when sat parked in transit. So I've got a lot of time for this horse, Majestic Cruiser. Win, lose, or draw tonight, I think he's got a big future. And the dangers are pretty obvious here. My Golden Grin is going to spear to the front and be a very, very tough nut to crack from there. Santa Cruz has got the best established form of anything in the race, just a slightly awkward draw, and Blissful Stride Baker always flies under the radar and probably will struggle to win from the outside of the front line, but geez, a nice horse as well. So there's going to be plenty of great form coming out of this race, and my numbers are 9, 5, 8, and 7.
Yep, don't disagree with anything you've said. Looking forward to the race. I'd also throw in Royal Knockout for your trifectas and first fours.
Second last is for the Trotters, guys, at 10 minutes to 10. Gee, Hot Jane Bling was A, in solid form, and due the win at Melton was really, really encouraging.
Yeah, look, here are the obstacles if you want to take short odds about Hot Jane Bling. Never started from the Strands in its career under race conditions, and only in one start in its career to date has raced off the pegs, as in not leading or not on the poles. So
also extended trip, 2,500 metres.
Yeah, so there are some obstacles.
Serious obstacles.
Having said that, I think she's the best horse in the race, and I'm happy to have her clearly on top. She stepped safely in a trial from the Strands, and I think if she's able to make up the ground, and she's got that really high speed that if Josh wants to let her go to try and whip around the field and take the lead mid-race, depending on who's already there, that's a serious possibility and probably his best plan, to be honest. So I've got it on top. The two dangers are relatively obvious to my mind. Carnier is a really nice horse. I think it went slightly below what it had done at its previous two starts last weekend at Melton, but its overall body of work would suggest it's a serious threat. The male model I'm not 100% sold on. He's also been leading a lot in his races, but you know, he's had three wins from four starts since immigrating here to Victoria, so you can't sniff at that. And then you've got Left, Right and Centre, who's off 40 metres but has a lot of ability in its own right. It'll probably need one or two of the big guns to go slightly below if it's to win the race, but it must go in your exotics. I'd even be throwing in Jeter and Alabama's Evasion, who typically steps very well from the Strands into exotics as well. So, tricky race. You just have to take those little caveats on board, Baker, with Hot Jane Bling, but my numbers are 7, 8, 4 and 11.
It's one of those races where I just think I'd be happy to stagger up those consistent, tough, older horses over the staying trip. So I'd have something on Jeter. I'd definitely have something on Kamida Lodge at 50-1. I'd have something on Gent, and I'd have probably my biggest bet on Left, Right and Centre, even off the handicap. His win two starts ago was very good.
And the last, guys, is at 10:25 for the three-year-olds. Here we go. We've got an Amanda Turnbull horse called War Dan. Haven't seen this bloke. Trial form important here.
Trial form good, and you know how he's a good horse, but normally Danny Z will roll out Wardan Bad Girl or Wardan Express or Wardan this and that.
Yeah, so this one, just gone with Wardan. I love the fact that Blake's so close with the Victoria's leading owner that he calls him Danny Z. Danny Zavitsanos is this, of course.
Yeah, Danny Z and me.
Danny Z. My man Danny Z's gone with Wardan. He was actually one of the stars of the Gordon Rothko Medal. His speech was, if you can get your hands on that, it was absolutely superb, pretty much saying the missus doesn't have any idea how much he's spending on the
horse. I think he's got a horse in the Sandown Guineas today I might have spotted.
Well, And I'll tell you what, he would have spent a bit on this because Wardan is a full brother to Caribbean Blaster. Better's Delight out of Calypso. It's also from the family of Protocol.
Hasn't she been a great broodmare?
Yeah, terrific broodmare. And she's a little bit hit or miss. They're either outstanding or they don't do a hell of a lot. But I'll tell you what,
if you toss out Caribbean Blaster, mate, you're a good broodmare.
And Protocol was a really good horse too. And I'll tell you what, I'm not saying this one's necessarily going to be in up to their ilk, but what we've seen at the trials is it has more than its fair share of ability. I think it's a clear on-top selection. It's a night where you're going to have to watch markets if you want to have a bet. And again here, if there's a push for this horse that it's going to win, it will win. So one on top. I thought 4, 2 and 5 were the major ones you had to include in your trifectas here. Muscle Up Major is a nice horse who's probably been racing slightly better horses than Winning Spirit and Archie to have. That's why I've got it on top. But I'll tell you what, if Wardan leads and Winning Spirit makes a left-hand turn and races behind the leader, it'll probably get the silver medal roll. But really looking forward to seeing this horse. 1, 4, 2 and 5, my numbers, Baker Boy.
Not much to add to that.
All right.
Best bets, guys?
Baker?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to back probably Rosanna Lindy a little earlier on the program, and there is that good wide trot race in race 7, which I'm happy to play the older horses and stagger the stake across 3 or 4 runners, which we've outlined. But interesting night of punting. Bon, what have you got?
I'll be playing a really skinny top line quad here. So number 2, Rishi, won out in the first leg. Second leg, this is where we have to go a little bit wider. 5, 8 and 9, My Golden Grinner, Santa Cruiser and Majestic Cruiser. Third leg, we're just going to play Hot Jane Bling, the male model and Carnera, and we're going to come home with Wardan. So nice and skinny for the tri-codes meeting. If things aren't working out on the gallops or the dogs, we'll try and make sure you go home a winner on the trots, JT.
Where do we get the form, guys?
Goodform.trot.com.au, and I'll be doing it in between this show and a good horse because I'll be on a tin pigeon to Albion Park straight after I get off air.
You enjoy your weekend, lads.
Thanks, JT. John.
Thanks, Bonners and Blake. Well, that's it for a Talking Trots. JT saying good morning to you. The latest in the world of sport is coming your way in a moment with Riley Phelan and then Greg Miles standing by for Trainer Talk for Zipping Classic Day. Good luck with your bets.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.